This is part two of my Q&A with my assistant. Make sure to go check out part one if you haven't already. Let's get right into it.
Do you ever feel like you want to shrink or reduce yourself to make others feel more comfortable?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. And I think I actually spoke about this in another one of the videos, but you're a lot less relatable when you do things that the average person doesn't do. And I used to be that exact person that, you know, was still trying to figure it out in life and, you know, was complaining about money and this and that, like before I'd gotten to this mindset. So I think sometimes when I meet new people, I often actually don't feel this desire to tell them about my life and what I do and where I live. And, you know, because sometimes I just feel like they immediately put me in a box that makes me unrelatable. Mm-hmm. So often, even if I'm like, you know, chatting to the woman that comes here to get my, to do my nails, like, you know, I love chatting to everyone that I do my appointments with. So we're chatting and she's like, so you live here and the Bahamas? I'm like, yeah, but like more about you. Like what's going on with you? Like where do you want to live if you could live anywhere? Like I don't want to talk about myself as much as I think, you know, I used to, because I feel like awkward sometimes and I don't want to make anyone feel weird and like, I don't know. Yeah.
So if someone's sort of giving off maybe like, I don't know, either insecure or jealous energy, how do you deal with that?
Well, I was there. Like I remember, and I still am, by the way. Like I'll meet people. Like even when I did a podcast with Miranda Kerr earlier this year, like I go to her house, it's insane. She is so beautiful, so like elegant the entire interview, like her posture is perfect. And she's like, she is just like perfect. And no, like I get it because like, you know, I'm not perfect. Like, you know, I know she's probably not perfect. I don't know that, but maybe she's not perfect. So, you know, I think, I know how that person would feel if maybe I show them that, you know, they could be earning more or they could, you know, be in a different place. Like I think that every relationship you have and every, you know, conversation you have is like a mirror almost. With Miranda Kerr, I'm talking to her, I'm like, fuck, like I want to be like you one day, like you, you know, all this stuff. But then I think to myself, you know, and then I obviously reel myself back in and I think, well, I'm my own version of whatever I'm going to become. And I have that confidence now that it doesn't really become a prominent thought in my mind. But when I meet maybe new people and I tell them about what I do and how young I am, and, you know, sometimes I get these looks, especially from like older women that maybe aren't where they want to be. And I just try to, you know, make them feel good in certain ways and talk about them more. And but yeah, no, I definitely feel it. It's weird. Like it's something that you never really think is going to happen. And then you have like these weird interactions sometimes. And then it makes you feel like you want to dampen yourself a little bit and talk more about other people because you don't really want the attention on you at a certain point.
Do you feel like even existing relationships of people who are already in your life, do you feel any shift with them at all and how they treat you?
So the people that have remained in my life since my big transformation over the past 8 years have been ones that only want the best for me, that are excited to hear about my good news, that I just love inside out, that love me inside out, where there's no animosity, no jealousy. So I will say that I'm very lucky in that sense. That the friends that I have are now very supportive. You know, I'll call them and say, oh, I just got the book deal for, you know, this amount of money, or this just happened, or I'm buying this house. Like my friends now support me. And like even the other day I took a video of what my new place here looks like, and my friend responded being like, can we just talk about how this is your house? I'm like, I know, isn't it crazy? So like, you know, that kind of relationship. So no, I wouldn't say that there is anyone that like is weird now, but there had been in the past, even before I had reached this level, even at the beginning when I was just putting myself out there, when I was just trying and I was still broke, unhappy, like overweight, like I was still not where I wanted to be. And I was just trying and putting myself out there, and then I would get hate. I wasn't even there yet. So the people in your life that show you these like weird sides to them when you start doing something that's out of the norm, like that is a huge red flag. And there was a lot more like relationship cleansing back when I started really believing in myself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right, let's move on to the next question. Okay, this is an interesting one. It's quite deep. Did you hit rock bottom before you stepped into Superhuman?
I don't think I would say rock bottom mm-hmm. is a good word to describe the era of Mimi before starting Superhuman. And for everyone listening, the Superhuman era is the era that brought me the new life that I now live, to be honest with you. But there was so much work for years and years before that ever happened that, you know, like all those different things had to be calculated into the equation of the success. Like over the past 8 years and only having Superhuman for just over 2 years, and I guess the other subscription platform, Mimi Method, before then. So I would say the past 3 years are, like, really it's been when my life has changed the most. 3 years. Mm-hmm. Because when I launched Mimi Method and the activations back then, meditations, which started kicking off a lot, and, like, you know, I was getting more subscribers on there. Like, Mimi Method was doing 30K a month when I first launched it, which was more money than I could ever imagine. Because back then I was like maybe 3 to 5K a month. If it was a good month, maybe 5K, because I was doing a lot of brand partnerships. I had tried all these different entrepreneurial ventures. I was not succeeding. I was really stressed about money every single month. It was so inconsistent. I was so used to inconsistent money. So when I started Mimi Method and the content really started resonating, that's when my life really changed. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, before like that era, I would say that's the Superhuman era. I wouldn't say that I've reached a rock bottom, but I was reaching a very intense moment in my personal development where I was so hungry to finally have it happen. Mm-hmm. I was so hungry to finally get into this new life. I was so impatient. It had been 5 years mm-hmm. already of trying without seeing massive result. 5 years and 2 massive entrepreneurial projects that have failed. And that was the TV show. I don't know, like if you guys listen to a lot of my stuff or watch a lot of my stuff, you'll know that whole story. And then it was this online education platform that I was a partner in. So those 2 things could have been mm-hmm. things that made me huge, that brought me a lot of money, that brought me a lot of abundance. They both failed, not even just failed. They like excruciatingly failed. Like it was big failure. So, and within those 5 years, I moved to London. I had tried all these different things and no real success had come my way yet. And I was really just in a survival mode. And I had zero clarity on what I wanted to do with my life, on where I wanted to go, on who I wanted. Well, I knew who I wanted to be, but who I needed to be. Mm-hmm. So I think rock bottom, just to answer your question, it's not the right word, but like this deep, mm-hmm. dark night of the soul maybe was, because I was hungry and intensely impatient at that point. It was after that second failure and I was like, I need to do something that works this time. And I was trying my absolute best and it was hard and I was very emotional and I remember like just needing something to work, and thankfully this did. But Superhuman and Mimi Method and all that was birthed by this like intense mm-hmm. desire, because I had been trying for 5 years consistently with so many failures and nothing was working, and I was at this breaking point. And listen, if it didn't work, I would have kept going and it would have been like even more motivating, but thankfully it did work at that point.
I think that's like what's defined like anyone's success is mm-hmm. how they kind of bounce back, right, from yeah. failure, and having that determination to keep going. I mean, was there ever any doubt in your mind that when you started Mimi Method even, that it was going to work out? Did you ever have any doubt at all on that?
Or no, I knew. Know? I knew.
You knew?
Yeah, I knew.
That's amazing.
But I knew Mimi Method wasn't going to be the company.
Oh, really?
It was called Mimi Method.
That surprises me.
Yeah, I know. I knew I had to change the name. I just was testing a lot. Like, my strategy with business has always been, like, throw the spaghetti at the wall. Put yourself out there, be embarrassing, be cringe, try everything. Mm-hmm. That has always been my strategy. And I knew that something in the nature of a digital subscription was going to be my thing. I just needed to test on Mimi Method what type of content. And then the meditations, now activations, were that content. The unique, you know, walking activations, legs up wall mm-hmm. activations, cooking activations, like those unique categories were the ones that people wanted. Mm-hmm. And I knew. But I knew Mimi Method was just a stepping stone, because like I never wanted a company that was so deeply embedded into my name. Like, I don't want to be an influencer. I don't. Mm-hmm. I want to create a company that is going to become a global name that people don't even realize I own.
If you are stuck in a rut, no matter how much you meditate, things just aren't going well. What do you advise?
So when you are doing, quote, everything that works and it's not working, it's because you are being too numb in your life. Mm-hmm. This is my theory. So when nothing feels like it's working and you are meditating, you're waking up early, you're doing your morning routine, you're doing everything that you, quote, know you need to do, but it's not working and you're still feeling like shit, it's because you're too numb. It's because you are either spending too much time on technology, or it's because you are not feeling clear enough. If you are not on technology and distracting yourself with things that make you feel numb, and if you have a very clear vision of what your goals should be and what you want to become in your life, then that's a perfect recipe to feel that like excited, energizing feeling that the activations will give you, that waking up early and doing a morning routine will give you. Like, you need to be alive to feel. And so many of us numb with too much social media, too much TV, too much technology. And when we do that, that is when it's not even possible for us to feel inspiration, because we're so numb that like your brain just can't even do it. That's my experience, and that's what I'll say.
If you weren't working on Superhuman, what do you think your dream career would be?
That's such a tough question, because I never felt like I was going to do something normal in my life. Like, I've always wanted to create or invent something. But I will say that, like, after Superhuman, I'm going to be living quite a different life, like maybe doing a little bit of everything instead. And I love interior design. I love, you know, painting. I love like being like a homemaker. Like, I want to get a home in the countryside. And like, you know, I don't know. I want to live a simple life. So I think my other dream career would be to invent something else, or to, you know, be a creator of another business, or do something that's a bit more like design related, you know, flipping houses or something. I like that.
How has your morning routine changed over time?
It's changed a lot. Back in the day, I would do this intense morning routine at 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. And I would wake up early. I'd be so strict. I'd do my 10 things I'm grateful for. I'd do my, you know, like bulletproof coffee. I would do my like 10 minute meditation activation. And like, I was just so masculine in my demeanor with my morning routine, which now I've completely changed. But I will say, I feel like I'm at a place where I'm okay with changing my morning routine into not being as intense, because I've reached a level that I'm comfortable with to an extent. Like, I obviously want more, but things change. Like, now my priorities change, and I also have like a team that deals with a lot for me. So I don't need to wake up in the morning and immediately like do something to prime me to be in my good mindset to then get to work and do a ton of work. Like, I work hard still, but it's more working smart as opposed to working really long hours like I used to. So what I will say, my morning routine has changed a lot. It's a lot softer. It's a lot more intuitive. I don't have a strict morning routine. Sometimes my morning routine looks like me waking up, like making a coffee and sitting, you know, by my window and reading a book. But I don't, like, some consistent things that I don't do in my morning is check social media the moment I wake up, scroll on my phone. I will say it's very different to how it used to, but I can't tell you that I wouldn't recommend what I used to do for certain people in certain areas of their life.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, it definitely brought me to the next level.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
doing a 5 a.m. morning routine and like, you know, really testing my discipline muscle right when I woke up, and it made me a stronger person.
Yeah.
So yeah, I wouldn't not recommend that. I think if like you're just starting out in life and you really want more and you're so far from where you want to be, like, do an intense morning routine.
Okay. This is a good one. I like this one.
Okay. Is it the last one?
No, we've got two more.
Okay.
Is it great seeing the people who doubted you living such average lives?
Someone actually asked that?
Meow.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's kind of mean. See, like, I don't want to be mean about, like, But that being said, there were people when I first started, like I mentioned, that were not nice to me for putting myself out there. Like there were people that, you know, like would say, like that would bully me, like when I first started putting myself out there and starting my online magazine at 19 years old and leaving university and trying to go make something for myself. There were people that would definitely make fun of me for doing that. So I would lie if I said that I didn't like check them out on Instagram once a year and they are living the same life. But to be honest with you, it's more of like, I feel bad for them feeling than a feeling of like, oh, I got revenge. Like, I don't feel that. I just feel like, I hope that one day they feel happy.
Yeah. And I think no matter what anyone does, like starting out, there's always going to be haters, right? Like there's always been people who feel jealous for not being confident enough to put themselves out there.
And it's funny because a lot of those people are the ones that come running to you once you reach success and they're like, hey, long time, how are you? And you're just like, I remember everything. But it's just part of the story. I remember a very vivid memory from when I was in university for like 1.5 semesters. And the girl that lived next to me in like our dorm rooms, she was a good friend the first kind of half of the time I was there because I was partying a lot. And she was a big partier and did a lot of drugs. And when I decided to stop drinking and going out and like work on this new venture of mine, and I wanted to move to London and I wanted to create an online magazine and I wanted to start Instagram, she started being really weird with me and like making fun of me. And I overheard her making fun of me to someone else when I was in my room. And like, you know, really she was mean and just very threatened by the fact that I was trying to do something different. And I remember that feeling being like, I just naturally knew deep down that this would just be part of like my story one day, is that like, this is just one of the people that doesn't believe in me and I can't wait to prove her wrong. It was really that feeling. So I'm really glad that I like took that route, because I could have taken another route of being insecure and not doing it. Like, yeah.
What are you most grateful to leave in 2023 and to add in 2024?
What I'm leaving behind in 2023 is burnout and having stress as a baseline emotion in my life, and worrying about freaking everything and being too controlling. And like, these are all my terrible qualities that I don't really show too often, but like they exist. Overthinking, just like needing everything to be perfect. That's what I'm leaving behind. And consciously, I've been writing about this. I am bringing in this new future self era version of Mimi. And she is calm, cool, calm, collected, powerful, but just grounded and calm. And that actually helps her manifest more because her energy is in check. I was manifesting in a bit more of a manic way over the past few years. Like, everything needs to get done in the exact way I need it to. And it's benefited me in a certain way. But now, since I have learned more and more about the work and how it works and myself and how I manifest, I know that it all comes down to just expecting what I want to happen, a true deep belief in myself, like insatiable, like desire to be like level-headed. Like I never valued not being stressed until now. I now really value feeling calm. And I think that's what I'm bringing into the new year more.
Love that.
Yeah.
We should like link an activation for journaling below.
Oh yeah. Well, we'll just link Superhuman because we have so many activations for the new year. If you guys are watching this and it's early 2024 or whenever, we have these writing activations on Superhuman and they're all guided journaling sessions, and they're amazing for goal setting. And I do them very often because when you're journaling, half the time you don't even know what you want to write about. And it's good sometimes to free flow and write, but what I've noticed is that when you have guided prompts, you just stay on track and you know that there is like a time limit to before the next prompt comes on the audio. So you just like actually write it and you get it done. And it's such a streamlined, more productive way to journal.
Definitely. That's all the questions.
Thank you, Molly, for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
I guess I could ask you one last question. Well, okay. One more question, but for Molly this time. What is it like being my assistant? Be honest.
I'd say it's a whirlwind. I'd say no day is the same. I think I've learned so much, but I think it's an absolute joy as well working with Mimi, because I think you are so authentic and you're exactly how you come across.
Really?
And I think that's really refreshing, because I think a lot of the time, you know, it's not always like that when you see people like online personas and celebrities and whatnot like that. You know, they're quite different to how they are in real life.
Thank you. That's a huge
compliment.
You're
very genuine and authentic.
Wow.
So, yeah,
thank you, Molly.
It's lovely.
Really appreciate it. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you. Bye.